Hallelujah. So it's just lovely to be home. I thank you for your prayers. Matthew chapter 14. And I'll pick it up in verse 13. John the Baptist has just been beheaded. I think he met some ISIS folks. Spirit's still the same. All right? Spirit manifests through different people, but the spirit is still the same. So they beheaded John. They took his body to be buried. And we pick it up in verse 13. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them here to me." He commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. I want to pick up on what I shared last time before we left to go to Korea, on not missing your miracle. Many times, if we are really honest with ourselves, we have missed the miraculous so often that we think it's quite normal to just live without miracles. And sometimes we miss the miraculous because we are looking for the spectacular. Now, sometimes the miracles are spectacular in their performance. When somebody walks out of the grave and he's been dead 4 days, that's quite spectacular. But many times we miss the supernatural. We miss the miraculous because we are looking for something that is spectacular. And we shared about Joshua Bell, who played in a metro station in New York, and thousands of people walked past him not knowing who he was. And he played about 5 pieces of Bach. Probably one of the top musicians in the planet, playing some of the best music that has ever been noted, and only about 2 or 3 kids noticed. Many people missed what the man was doing and who he was because he did not dress like what they thought. Yet a few nights beforehand, he performed in a concert, and they were buying $250 per seat tickets just to hear him. And now he's playing for nothing and they missed it. Many times we miss the miraculous because many times we're looking for something else. Like my friend Don, I shared with you about, who stopped in Singapore and wanting to buy himself a Rolex. And he was looking at these Rolexes, and they're about 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, 25, 50,000. And he was looking at them, and his saliva was dripping. And the man said, "What are you doing? He said, I've always wanted to own a Rolex. And the man said, "Oh, you got a watch?" He said, "Oh, this." The man said, "Can I take your watch? Can I have a look?" So the man took his watch and went out the back and tested his watch, had a look at it, and he came back and he said, "There's not a watch in my shop that's equal to yours."
He was wearing a watch that $137,000 that was gifted to him by somebody he had a meal with in Germany. He did not even know the value of the watch. He's looking for a $5,000 watch when he had a $137,000 watch. Sometimes you miss the miraculous. You miss your miracle because you're looking for something that you think is great. Most of us are sold to a toy world, and we think that's life. That's not life. The world is just a toy. The world will pass away. The fullness of it will pass away, but the Word of God remains forever. Are you all right? And sometimes we totally miss the miraculous because sometimes we don't know what we're looking for, and sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes our miracles are sitting right in front of us, but we don't know because we think we're looking for what they say there. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You don't know the reason it's greener. It's because it's a... Hello? I'd better not say that. Are you all right? The reason it's greener is because it's just on the top of a septic tank. Now, you may think, well, that's, but sometimes we look for greener pastures when we are standing on them. When the boy said to his father, hey, you're not doing a very good job. It's not good. I don't like it. So he left. And when he spent everything that he had and now feeding pigs. Now, understand this. Jews and pigs don't actually go together. And now he's feeding pigs. And now he's desiring the things that the pigs were eating. And then he came to his senses. How much more is there bread and fish and whatever else is back in my father's house? And here I am starving. I'm going home. I'm going to say to my dad that I've sinned against heaven and against you. Make me one of your hired servants. Don't call me a son. So he up and left. What happened? That boy did not know that his very miracle is right where he was. He did not know that there was a miracle house, and he left the house not knowing that right back at the house are the miraculous, but he did not appreciate it. Some young people and a lot of people that I know of are career people, and all they're doing is trying to get out of Wanganui. Are you nuts? And there are people in New Zealand that are going to Australia, and I know many of them are coming back. Why? They realize that they are looking for something that they already have. They're just too stupid to see it. So young people, if you leave Wanganui, get yourself an education, a career, come back. Even if you take a lower salary, come back to Wanganui and sow back into your house, sow back into your city, and bless the people of your community. Yes. Why do you always want to encroach on Auckland? Auckland is not God. Yes. I'm not angry. I'm just telling you. That boy never knew what he had. Like the man that sold his farm to find diamonds, not realizing that his whole farm was just diamonds. He was standing on a diamond mine, yet looking for diamonds, so he sold his farm. He died penniless in France, looking for diamonds, when he had acres and acres of diamonds. Don't die penniless in a foreign country when you got miracles in your own house. When she came to the prophet and said, my husband served God, but he's dead. I've got two boys, and they're going to be sold to pay our debt. What did the man ask? What have you got in your house? I've got nothing. And many of us see that and look at what we have and say, I've got nothing. You need to go to Shanghai so that you can see what you've got. Are you all right? You need to go to Shanghai to just appreciate the sun outside. To know it's glorious here. Jesus saw the multitude and was moved with compassion. And sometimes you need to look outside of what you have to see and appreciate what you have. Many people, if you want to have a missions vision, go to the mission field. There was a lady came to a pastor friend of ours and said, what am I going to do? There's nothing here to do. You know what he did? Sent her to the mission field. You know what? She never came back. Lives in a foreign country now, a missionary. Why? She saw how rich she was and how much she could do. And sometimes you need to see people for who they are. Just because somebody dresses in a three-piece suit does not mean he's got it all together. Are you all right? Say amen. Amen. Don't miss your miracle. Don't miss what Gene said this morning. Some of you pledge your income tax return to the building. Why do we have a box here? So that you can give. We've never actually taken building offerings. We just trusted you to give some lunch every Sunday. God will bless your not enough. And if you promise God that, why don't you just give it? So, you will always have needs. Needs are like hair unless you're bald. Like Mr. Meelings and Mr. Falili. But I'm not bald. When I dedicated my youngest daughter when she was a baby, I hungied her. And one of my children put it on the thing. That's when you and when he had hair and you didn't. Now the roles are reversed. Stand up. See how much hair she's got? See how much hair I've got? The roles are beginning to be reversed, all right? Hallelujah. But while you've got hair, put some lunch in the box, okay? Are you all right? Don't miss the miraculous. They never thought that he could be somebody. So they send him out to do menial task outside of the family so that nobody can see him. And when the minister came to the house to find a new minister, to find a king for the nation, they paraded his seven sons before Samuel. And after seven boys were paraded, all of them looked the part. All of them looked fantastic. All of them on the outside looked great. But when they paraded them across the minister, he said to Jesse, Jesse, is there another boy? Because God has not said anything. Either he missed God or something's gone wrong. God may have sent him to the wrong house, but he knew what God said. Go down to Bethlehem, Judah, and anoint one of Jesse's boys to be king instead of Saul. And now having the seven best boys in the whole place, and God never said anything. Jesse said, there's a little boy, and he's away looking after the sheep. Unless you read the Bible properly, you probably could not discern why Jesse sent David away out of sight. David said, I was conceived in sin. If you're conceived in marriage, you're not conceived in sin. You're conceived properly. But David was conceived in sin. His father probably had an affair with somebody else, and the boy was pushed out from where everybody is, a skeleton in the cupboard of the family, so that nobody can talk about that boy. He's the only one with red head. Samuel said, we will not sit down to eat until he come hither. And when he walked over, God said, there's the king of Jesse. missed it. His brothers missed it. In fact, when he came to the war to bring their lunch, they didn't want him to be at the war. They didn't want him with his red hair to turn up. Because there are soldiers, there are generals, there are people from the other tribes in the nation. And here's the red-headed boy. He turned up. What are you doing here? Is there not a cause? They missed the miraculous because they were perceiving something different. David Keitley is a PhD theologian, minister, senior minister of a church in Oakland, California. David will come to pray every morning. And there was a bum in front of the church, a street man. He sleeps there. Come rain or shine, summer, winter. And David said he could smell him when he draws close to the church. Lives on the street, eats off the dumps, or the rubbish bins. And that's normal in the States. And sometimes when something like that is normal, you get hardened to it. But one day, he was so convicted, he asked the man to come into the foyer of the church. And he'll find some shelter. And that's what happened for some time. And he came in one time and got so convicted. And he opened the church. And he said to him, come and sleep in the church. Now, when you do that in California, that's a risk. Because when somebody's in the church, he lives on the street. He's got other mates that live on the street. His name also was David. David Keitley was the pastor. This man's name was David Grubb. G-R-U-B-B. Today, David Keitley and David Grubb ministered together nationally and internationally. People matter to God. And sometimes your miracle is just the person next to you. Sometimes your miracle comes to church sometimes and they leave the church and nobody ever says hello to them because you only say hello to the ones that you are familiar with. That's why I said this morning, find somebody you've never said hello to before and say hello to them. Don't miss the miraculous. Don't miss your miracle. Many times it's just the person next to you. Maybe all the miracle they're looking for is just a touch from somebody else. At least they know God knows their address. Hallelujah. Are you all right? God said to him, Abraham, he said, your children are going to be in a foreign country for 400 years. And then they'll come back to this land. Well, it was 430 years. Either God lied or something happened that delayed the miracle by 30 years. God said 400. They didn't get there until 30 years past 400. And God said, I have given you the land. Yet only two people that left Egypt ever entered the land. They missed their miracle by 30 years, then missed it altogether. What happened? They forgot that to be part of the miraculous, you have to be involved in your own miracle. If you're going to have a miracle of an event center built, you have to be part of your own miracle. Like Mr. Wick said this morning, we've got enough money to build a center. It's in your pocket. It needs to get out of your pocket. You can't build that center with your money, but you can give some lunch, and God will bless your not enough and make it enough. Hallelujah. Only Joshua and Caleb when they came to Kadesh Barnea and Moses sent out 12 spies, 10 came back and said, we can't. 2 came back and said, we can. And the whole people cried all night and said, are there not enough graves in Egypt? They didn't come to die. They came out of Egypt to enter a promise. You don't just left your old life to live in a lurch. You come out to get in. You come out of darkness into His marvelous light. You come out of the kingdom of darkness and be translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. You don't come to stay in the middle. You don't come to stay in the wilderness. You come out of Egypt into the wilderness, into the promised land. They never made their promise. They missed their miracle. Why? Sometimes it was fear. Now, poverty is a spirit. And it is a spirit that tells you this. You need to be afraid that one day you'll end up with nothing. Poverty is the fear of lack. And you may have millions of dollars and still possessed by a spirit of fear. Possessed by a spirit of poverty. You can't even reach out. You are withered in your hand, even though you have much. And you can't reach out to give, because even though you have got much, your hand is withered to reach out. Don't miss your miracle. Israel missed their miracle. They forgot that they were part of the miracle. The Messiah was going to be born. And every prophet prophesied. Minor prophet, major prophet, they all prophesied that the Messiah is going to be born, and he's going to be born at this town, at this time. When the Messiah was born, nobody was there. And when the Magi came, they had to go to Herod. Herod had to ask the pastors and the ministers and the priests and the prophets, where's the Messiah going to be born? Oh, 6 miles from here, just down the road in Bethlehem. That's where he's going to be born. About now. How come they had a history, one after the other, of all the prophetic words, and when the Messiah was born, nobody was there? What happened? They totally missed it. Don't you miss it. And many Magi turn up and take their miracles home. And we sit here 6 miles from the miracle. We don't do nothing. Are you all right? I don't know if I blessed you, but I blessed me. They miss their Messiah. They miss their promised land. Why? They did not know. Well, they should. That one of the essence of their miracle is them. Are you all right? Say amen. Whanganui was chosen to be a port city. It will never be a port city. Why? Because the council at the time, the city fathers at the time said, we can't do it. So they looked at Wellington. It will never be a port city. Why? They missed their miracle. Don't miss the miracle. We've done it as a city. Don't let's keep on being stupid. Then they chose Whanganui to be the headquarters of Massey University. You know what the council said? We can't do it. Can you imagine a port city with a uni? We are citizens of the city that keeps missing miracles. Let's stop that. Now, the young people are looking to those places when they didn't have to. But we missed it. Don't we miss it as a church? Hallelujah. Are you all right? Now, why am I preaching on this again? I preach on this, and then we had about three guest ministers all preach on the same thing. Now, you have to be daft not to realize that maybe God is saying something to us, because God knows that we could miss it. Now, you wouldn't believe this. We went to the other side of the world to visit Seoul, Korea. Guess what they preach from? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And when he said that, I just sat there and said, God! In 1958, they started that church with 4 people in a tent. They now got a sanctuary that seats 25,000. And every time a service, 25,000 people fill that sanctuary. It's just that in Korea, they just decided to believe God. He's the same God that New Zealand has. What happened? They just decided to involve themselves in a miracle. We have a prayer meeting. It's a landslide. If 5 people turn up, they have a prayer meeting in Korea. 25,000 people fill the sanctuary and they pray. I'm not angry. I'm just telling you. And then one of the visiting superintendents, and I laugh at this because this is the very mindset of our Western educational system. They said, do they work? Oh, that's a dumb thing to ask a Korean. Of course they work. But to them, Jesus is always number one. And when Jesus is number one, they find everything to fulfill everything, their obligation, their responsibility. But Jesus will always take the place that only he can occupy in their lives. I mean, you look outside that church. There's about 100 buses plus, not let alone the cars and that turn up just for people to come to church. We think it's a landslide when two cars are parked in the field. You look like a cell group. Hallelujah. God is good. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that works where? In who? In the pastor? In us. In us. In us together, moving together, doing something together. God can't help but command his blessing. Hallelujah. So it was the evening, the late hour. For some of you, the hour is late. You've been praying a long time. It looks like God has not answered. The hour is late. You don't even know if God's ever going to answer, and hope deferred makes the heart sick. Not only that, it's a deserted place. Late hour. Desert place, not deserted of people. There were 5,000 guys there, let alone women and children. But there were no shops. There was nowhere to get food. And sometimes when you find yourself in a place where it does not look to you that it'll answer your need. Hello? And all you see is your need. You can't see the answer to the need. When some of you, it's a late hour, Some of you, it's a horrible place. You're not in a good space. In a place like where Jacob stopped for the night. There was no restaurant, no cafe. It was a dark, desperate place. What a horrible place this is. And the only thing he could find was a pillow. And the pillow was not made of feathers. It was a stone. It was a rock. So he did the only logical thing to do. Put his head on the rock. When the hour is late, when the place is a terrible place, do yourself a favor. Put your head on the rock. And in the middle of the night, God opened the heavens. When he woke up in the morning, he said, this place is not terrible. This place is not desperate. This place is not horrible. This place is the house of God. That desperate place, that deserted place, that late hour can be God's time. That deserted place can be the place where God will minister to you. If you're here this morning, you have never made a definite commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, do yourself a favor. Give your life to Christ. Hallelujah. Give your life to Jesus. Bless the Lord. The disciples forgot to look by faith. They just look at the things that were natural. Like the people that went to the promised land, they just saw the giants. Like most of us, when we have to give, we look at our wallet. I've got a friend who's a multimillionaire. When they were baptizing him, he reached out and got his wallet out to give to somebody on the pool, and the pastor said, no, leave your wallet in your pocket. We'll baptize your wallet as well. That man is one of the greatest givers I have ever seen. And however much he gives, it's almost like God just keep on giving back to him. He's a multimillionaire, loves Jesus. When stuff get burned down, he said, our faith is not in the stuff. Our faith is in God. Don't miss your miracle. Hallelujah. Look with the eyes of faith. The other thing the disciples totally missed was Jesus was with them. How daft can you be? This is the man that created everything that's there. Everything seen and unseen. He's standing with them. And they totally miss the fact that the God of all glory, Lord Advocate General of the universe, is right there with them. And many times when the needs are so great, we totally forget that the presence of God is with us. We totally miss the fact that Jesus Christ, who created all things, all power in heaven and earth, is given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples. This is the God of very gods who spoke the universe into being. He was right there and he said, hey, you feed them. Don't forget the fact that however much you give to the Lord, God's presence is still with you. You're not the poorer for giving. You're the richer for giving. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Why? Don't miss the miraculous. You could do miracles, but don't miss it. one of Australia's richest men. I'll not mention his name, but you can find out his name as I talk. He's playing polo with some of his mates in England. And after they left in their cars and realized it was evening, and so they stopped at a pub. Now, you understand that in England, the pub is very different from our pubs. The pubs in England are mostly, well, you can buy ale there, but it's their restaurants where they eat. So they stopped at this pub, and they were in Land Rovers, what do you call them? Jeep things. And they stopped there, and they asked the guy, is your restaurant? And said, no, it's too late, we are closing down. Said, oh, couldn't you fix us some time? No, sorry. He couldn't. He was closing down. So, okay. So they drove off. And about not even 400 yards down the road was another pub. And they stopped there. And the man also was closing down. Was late. And they asked him. Said, oh, sorry. The restaurant is closed. The chef has gone home. But he said, but I'll fix you up some toasted sandwiches. And they said, oh, please. So he did. And I think it came to about 45 pounds. So this man asked, I said, who owns this place? They said, I own it. How much are you owing on it? And he was embarrassed because you don't tell strangers. No. How much are you owing on it? I think he said 263,000 or 163,000, one of those two amounts. And he said, thank you very much for doing the sandwiches for us. Have you got a pen? So he signed him a check for the amount that he was owing for his place. And then he said to him, on only one condition, that you tell the guy down the road. You tell the guy down the road that you got it from me. And he looked at this stranger and the guys that he was with. He said, that check will be honored in any city, in any bank in the world. That guy down the road missed his miracle. Don't you miss your miracle. We're going to pray. If you're here today, maybe the hour is late for you. Or maybe the place you're at is deserted. Maybe you're looking for the miraculous. If you are, God is not going to rebuke you for looking for the supernatural. Jesus did not rebuke Peter because Peter wanted to walk on waters. If that was us, then we'll say to Peter, who do you think you are? I'm the only one who's going to walk on water. No, Jesus never rebuked Peter for wanting to see the miraculous, for being involved in the miraculous. But this is the point. If Peter wanted to walk on the water, he needed to get out of the boat. If you want the miraculous to be part of your life, you have to say yes to God every single time. When you do that, the miracles become an integral part of your Christian walk because God is looking for somebody who will step out. Abraham stepped out. Moses stepped out. David stepped out. Anybody that was anybody in God came to a place where they understood that they needed to step out. Some of you need to step out in forgiveness. Some of you may look at your situation, whether it's at church, at work, or at home, and say, what a horrible thing. I want to get out. Never knowing that right there, in the middle of your turf, is your own miracle. You need to have eyes. Ask God, God, open my eyes. That this desperate place become the house of God. This darkness of Luz becomes the Bethel of God. And if that's you, in the last 10 minutes before we dismiss, come. Stand. As we sing the song, come. If you need prayer, come. If you've never made Christ a definite commitment to Jesus Christ, come. Greatest day to get saved. Give your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.